Jeez, Tom. Three straight, my friend, the sweep. I didn't see it coming. I mean, talk about taking the air out of the balloon. That was horrible.
No question. Yeah, and I will say, I mean, I hate to say I told you so, but the only thing I did, you know, caution everybody, and I said it before game one, the one thing you could not let happen is you could not let the bullpen dictate the game, and that's exactly what happened. Certainly in games one and game three, it was all about the bullpen. They had the better bullpen. They had the best bullpen, I think, in the American League, and they had the best manager calling the shots. Terry Francona, you know, handled that bullpen beautifully in game one and game three, and that is why they won the series. But I never, ever, I mean, I knew they could lose, but to get swept and go out as quietly as they did is nothing short of shocking.
TC, we'll look back on this, say, the dead of winter and go, what was the Red Sox season? I mean, you have to, to me, you got to look, you know, worst to first as far as big picture goes, but that was a bittersweet pill to swallow, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I hate to sort of soft pedal it, but to me, you won't know what this season meant until a year from now. It's like 2003. You know, if you spoke to me the day after the Game 7 loss at Yankee Stadium, I'd have told you it was the worst season in the history of Boston Red Sox baseball. Now we look back on it and we realize, you know, losing to the Yankees was the beginning of the 2004 championship, right? So this is going to go one of two ways. This is either a crushing loss that kind of puts the team back in disarray. I think, being a glass half full kind of guy, I think, you know, this is a step forward for the young guys. You know, you talk to those young players in the clubhouse the last couple of days, and they'll all tell you openly that they learned a lot about playoff baseball. The pressure, the expectations, how to deal with it. And, you know, they started coming around last night. So, you know, they got a great young core. There's no question about it. And if this was a step forward for that young core, then you're going to look back at it and say, okay, it was all part of the process. They got the playoff experience in 2016, and that was a step forward in that young group becoming an established team.
Wow, that really is half full. Oh, my goodness, man. That's certainly that New Yorkers think a different way, of course. Tom Garrett joining us on the TikTok Jewelers Guest Line. Tom, I guess 1-7 down the stretch, we should have seen the writing on the wall. That was the beginning of the downfall for him.
Well, that's the worry, right, is that you kind of lost your they lost sight of the game. I mean, did they get caught up in the Ortiz, the Poppy Palooza, the David Ortiz ceremonies? Did Mark Teixeira deliver the fatal blow? You know, did that grand slam walk-off weirdness on the clinching night, did that lead to a hangover effect? I mean, there's not a guy in that clubhouse who says it did. There's not a baseball expert that I truly trust who says it did. But I don't agree with any of them because I think it did. I just think they stumbled into the postseason and the goodwill of an 11-game winning streak. 2 weeks ago today, 2 weeks ago today, they had an 11-game winning streak going.
Wow.
And they were going into game one at Yankee Stadium feeling like they could beat anybody on earth. Since that day, 2 weeks today, they've won one game and have been eliminated from the playoffs. Yeah. It is amazing what's happened in 14 days.
It really is. And, I mean, how much do you look at, as you said, Poppy Palooza? I mean, looking back on it now, knowing what we know, especially that last weekend, the home weekend, was it a little bit much?
Well, you know, you'd think so, but it was Ortiz who won you that game on Friday with the home run, the two-run home run in the seventh inning, right? That was the beginning of the love fest. He said by the end that he was running on fumes. And so you wonder, you know, they lost that last game 2-1. You win that game, and at the very least, you make Cleveland play one more game on the makeup game on Monday to earn home field advantage. So maybe you got the home field advantage. And maybe having Ortiz bat in the ninth inning of that game when he was toast wasn't the best idea. I do think they just looked emotionally drained at the end of the regular season. And you know, to think they could just flip the switch and get it going again in the playoffs isn't realistic. They ran out of gas with a week to go.
Tom Caron joining us here on the Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. All right, John Farrell, look, he's going to be coming back for another year. Put a letter grade on it. Did a good job, average job. Did he cost him the playoffs? I mean, I thought he was pretty good. I don't know what all the criticism is coming from here.
Yeah, I mean, I give him a B, maybe a B minus, which is, you know, he got a last place team to first place. He dealt with a lot of new people. Was there a Grady Little moment in this playoff series? Absolutely not. I, you know, a lot of people up in arms that he pinch hit for Benintendi last night. I didn't like the move, but that's not why they lost the game. Chris Young wound up getting the walk in the ninth inning when he came back around. You know, Benintendi would have got a single maybe. So it's the same thing. He didn't lose in the series. I think he got outmanaged by Terry Francona, but that's not because of anything Farrell didn't do. It's because of all the right moves that Francona made. Could he make, a lot of people are talking about how he rested three guys that final game in New York the day after the celebration, but every manager rests guys they clinch. I thought he, especially in September when he kind of got the group together and he knew what his bullpen was, I thought he handled that bullpen pretty well. And that 11-game winning streak, he pulled a lot of the right moves. I think earlier in the season, he made some questionable moves on the pitching front, but I thought by the end of the year, he was using that bullpen the right way. And look, the bullpen was really good in the playoffs, right? The one thing we thought would be a problem wound up never being an issue. It was the fact that he had three starting pitchers, not one of them went five innings. That's not a manager. In fact, he did the right thing by getting him out of there and letting the bullpen take over. So, no, I thought he did a good job. I'll stick with the B.
Hey, I take a B any time. I think I only had three of them in 7 years of college. And one of them was for handball. What's the biggest offseason need for this team? And I mean, obviously, replacing Big Poppy is going to be a bit of an issue, you would think.
Yeah, I was there when both John Farrell and Dave Dombrowski spoke today. And I asked John Farrell that exact question. And he said, I don't know that hitter exists. So, I think more likely than not, you're going to see a team that does what most other teams do now. You kind of rotate guys through the DH. You have Hanley play a little bit of first, a little DH. Pablo Sandoval might be part of all this next year, and he can play some time at DH. You may have a Travis Shaw hitting but not fielding. You may rotate some of your outfielders through. Chris Young against the lefty. Different guys maybe slipped into that DH spot. I really doubt they're going to go spend $90 million for Edwin Encarnacion. Ortiz is lobbied for that, and I'm sure they'll consider it. I just think it's going to get too much money for them. They got a pretty good core back. They've got six starters on the contract. The biggest thing they need to address most likely is the bullpen, because my guess is both Ziegler and Uehara are gone. That said, Joe Kelly looked pretty good in the bullpen at the end, and for my money, Drew Pomeranz is a better reliever than he is a starter, so I leave him in the bullpen. And either you the debate is, do you activate the option on Clay Buchholz for $13.5 million, or do you use that money to go elsewhere? There's not much out there on the free agent market pitching. So there's not a lot of easy replacements for him. So, he may be back for another year as, his nine lives continue.
Tom Karen and Nessa joining us here on the Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. David Price. David Price. First of all, does he earn that money because he pitches and eats up the innings and has a good record in the regular season, though he doesn't get it done in the postseason? Or is that why you get all that type of $200+ million to pitch in the postseason?
Yeah, it's a great question. They don't get to the playoffs without him. He wound up being a pretty good pitcher. When you look at his season as a whole, he had a pretty good year. But he wasn't good in the playoffs. And the toughest thing for David Price now is it doesn't matter what he does over the next 11 months and 3 weeks. He could win 25 games and win the Cy Young Award next year. But until he wins in the playoffs, that is all he's going to hear. And if they are a first-place team next year and they're heading to the playoffs, we're going to spend all of September talking about how he still can't win in the playoffs. And until he wins in the playoffs, it doesn't matter what he did in the regular season, that's what he's going to hear about. So, listen, John Farrell said he expects him to come back even better next year. Rick Porcello came back much better in the second year. John Lester came back much better in the second year in Chicago. So maybe you'll see an even better David Price now that he's adjusted to Boston and he goes off humbled after another playoff failure. But we're not going to know the value of David Price until next October if he gets another chance to pitch in the playoffs.
The great thing, you're looking for glass half full stuff here. How about the fact that they ended 2 days before it's time to drop the puck? You ready to go down there?
Before Brady returns to Foxborough and before they drop the puck. Yeah, let's get to hockey. I'm ready. I just sent Jack Edwards and Andy Brickley a note, said, take us away here. Take us, get our minds off of this, because I'm going to sit around and Think about how they just kept taking the first pitch for a strike last night against the guy that goes 88 miles an hour swinging the bat.
Chara from the point, he scores. The season's underway. What Red Sox?
Yeah, exactly. You know, here's the toughest thing, and it's funny. We were on the postgame show last night, and it was all fire and brimstone, ready to scream and yell. And then Ortiz comes out and doffs his cap. And, you know, I don't want to get caught up in being a sentimentalist. I grew up here. I demand more from this team than being swept as an analyst and as a fan. But it's really, really hard to imagine this team without David Ortiz. And, you know, my youngest son is 16, and he doesn't have a conscious memory of this team without David Ortiz in it. You know, it's incredible when you think of almost a generation of New Englanders growing up only knowing what this team has been under David Ortiz. And,
yeah.
You know, when he came out and said goodbye last night, that's when it hit you. He even said that's when it hit him. He's not coming back. And, you know, I think we all really believe this team was going to do something special. Maybe not win it all, but certainly win a series or two for him. And it's pretty crushing that they went out as quietly as they did.
Yeah, they did. Well, baseball in the rearview mirror. We'll get ready for hockey when Rich and I come down for a Bruin game lunch on Rich. So we'll have a good time when we come down.
I love it. I mean, 4 months, and don't forget, 4 months till pitchers and catchers before.
Yeah. Tom, we'll speak to you later, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, TC.
Thanks, guys. Yep.